In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, the great St. Francis de Sales, whom we commemorate today, is known as the Gentle Saint. Based on his temperament, things would not have turned out this way had he not labored with great pains to learn and acquire gentleness. By his nature, he had a violent temper, and it was only by the grace of God and many wearying efforts on his part that he managed to tame it. The practice of gentleness did not come easily for him. We see this especially when he wrote of the inner turmoil caused for him by angry feelings that welled up within him. On one occasion, he says that he was seething with anger inside. And on several occasions, he was afraid of losing in 15 minutes what had taken him years to acquire, that is, his gentleness and patience. He admitted to a friend that these two passions that gave him the greatest difficulty were love and anger. With regard to the passion of anger to which he was inclined, he fought it head on. And with such strength and courage, or to state it better, with such effort and constancy, that it appeared visibly at his death. When they opened up his body, some stones were found in his gallbladder. The doctors explained the presence of these little stones as resulting from the very vehement efforts that he had made to control this passion. A very close friend, confidant, and admirer of his wrote this somewhat poetic description of the saint's struggle against his own anger, which went so far as to lead to gallstones. O stones from David's bread bag, how many giants, that is, impetuous assaults of anger, have you felled? O stones from which run water, oil, and honey, and which demonstrate the great power of grace over nature, the grace that sometimes changes stones into honey, and sometimes also honey into stone. But a sometimes overly idealized popular version of this saint makes us forget that he knew that there are times, even though they may be rare, when it's necessary to lose one's patience a bit with a wayward neighbor or with children who will not obey after they've been told calmly and gently what they must do or not do. When the occasion called for it, St. Francis was not beyond reprimanding people even from the pulpit. During his sermon, one of his earliest biographers recounts his sternness from the pulpit. He scolded from the pulpit the young nobleman, a relation of his, who forgot the due respect to the holy building and was making eyes in unwonted fashion with a young lady. The two love-struck young people, at a prearranged moment, by signs and shaking their heads, were distracting the congregation, and they shocked the more devout. They set their friends laughing. The prelate suddenly angrily reprimanded the culprits, showing his severity by yelling at them, "Enough! What is this? Where do you think we are? If you continue to scandalize people in public, I will call your names out and admonish you publicly." Though it might shock you, I will admit I've been tempted at times to behave exactly as just described. Let us all remember that we're in God's house, the Holy of Holies. We must not speak unnecessarily in church or carry on conversations, nor constantly forget to silence our phones. Please try to take care to let the kneelers down gently. These can come down with a boom if you're not careful. We must remember that there are times when small children should probably be taken out of the church for a bit because they are young and it is more difficult for them to remain silent and still for long periods. If you have to yawn, especially during the sermon, remember that the proper etiquette is to cover your mouth. Nothing so perfectly communicates to the preacher, "You're boring, please finish as soon as possible," than yawning with a big, open mouth. It's demoralizing. I remember a gentleman, years ago, another apostle, would always begin his nap right about the time that I was starting the sermon, or a little bit before. In fact, now that I think about it, he wasn't the only one. I can still see him in my mind's eye, head back on the pew, eyes closed, mouth open. Assuming, I suppose, that I didn't see him, or not minding if I did. As if priests didn't notice this sort of thing. It's all we notice. He was probably weary from his labors, so I know I shouldn't judge him. And many of us priests do not enjoy preaching as our most notable gift. Moreover, I don't have a very good track record myself, unfortunately. And as a seminarian, I was once nodding off after a long day during an evening conference by Canon Lefebvre, the former vice rector and prefect of studies at our seminary in Italy. All of a sudden, I heard his booming voice calling out from the room, "Abbe Norman is asleep!" From being invisible in the back of the room, all of a sudden, I was the object of the laughter and ridicule of a room full of seminarians. Canon Lefebvre is beloved by the seminarians because he doesn't hold back when it's necessary to scold or discipline someone. His reactions are always very lively and real and natural. There's nothing pretentious or fake about him. He's very French in that way. And thank goodness he called me out. We need a bit of public shaming from time to time for our humility's sake to put us back on that straight and narrow path. St. Francis de Sales never lost sight of the fact that it was his duty as a priest and then a bishop to keep souls on that straight and narrow path, which alone leads to heaven. Not very often, but sometimes, this takes showing a bit of severity. One of the first Mother Superiors of the Order of the Visitation, which St. Francis de Sales co-founded with St. Jean de Chantal, recounts how some men were hacking away with axes at the scaffolding of the new monastery building. The saint came over, St. Francis de Sales, that is, and said to one of them three or four times, "Friend, stop, stop, please." Seeing that it was having no effect, he gently took the axe from the man and then with a stern look joined with a majestic gentleness and authority and episcopal courage. He strongly reprimanded the man, making him understand that if he were unaware of the extent of the bishop's authority over all those in his diocese, then he would soon experience it. He threatened to report the religious involved to his superior, and he called the bailiff for the layman. But he added, "I did not do anything in this matter that I should not have done, and I would always do it in a similar situation." Though the saint we commemorate today deemed it necessary on a few occasions to be stern with his neighbor, he never did so out of hatred or purely to give vent to his anger. He spoke thus for his neighbor's correction and eternal welfare. He thus preserved true gentleness and true charity. If we can imitate St. Francis de Sales in this, this will be of great aid in helping us to advance in Christian perfection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.